Well, turning your Bibles to John, we're going to start with John chapter 1, and we're going to look at the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Son of God came to the earth, be born in Bethlehem, that he would provide the way that we could have eternal life. At this time of the year, Christmas is almost here, it's just a few days away, and this is the time in which we remember the birth of our Savior, and we enjoy the season. We don't want to forget who Jesus Christ is and why he came. And as we look, we're going to go back. We're going to go back and we're going to look at the promise that God made and see some things about the promise. Then we're going to see the person, and then we're going to see the purpose, and we'll see how it all fits together. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. People say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved us that he gave his son. He gave him to come. And when we think about Christmas, that's when God gave the son. Jesus Christ came to the earth so that he could be a human being. As we saw in our grow group time, that he left the glories of heaven and humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. The baby born in Bethlehem indeed is the Son of God. As John 3:16 tells us, whoever believes in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. When we think about each person, and we say everyone in this room and every person ever made, ever created by God, is special and unique. But there's a problem with all of us, and that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're dead in trespasses and sins, as Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, but we need a Savior. And so we cannot save ourselves, but in Ephesians it says that God, being rich in his grace and his mercy, has provided a Savior for us. And that's what the Christmas story really is. The Christmas story is not just the story of a baby being born in Bethlehem who didn't have a place to stay and had to be out where the animals were and was put in a feed trough. The story of Christmas is how God sent his son into this world to become a human being so that he could die for us. We call that the incarnation. And so we're going to look at this. In fact, we're calling that this morning the incarnation, God becoming flesh. The baby born in Bethlehem is the most important person who's ever lived. John 1:1, if you're there, I want you to just look at the very first verse. It's very famous. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Of course, the Word is Jesus Christ. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So here's the Word who's always existed, who's God. But I want you to look at verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so at a point in time in history, the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ, the eternal God. I want you to think about that. Jesus Christ has always existed for all time, but at a point in time, he actually became a person so he could die for us. So this morning, we're going to look at three things. We're going to do it very quickly. We just want you to see it. Three things. We're going to see the promise, the person, and the purpose. And so we're going to go back and talk about the promise, and we'll turn to several places. Mostly, if you even want to be thinking about it, we're going to go back to Isaiah in just a few minutes. But let's talk about the promise. God made a promise. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, all the way through the entire Old Testament. God said he would provide a Savior. When mankind sinned in Genesis and failed, God came and said, the seed of woman will crush the head of the serpent. God said, I'm going to send a Messiah, a Savior, one who will come and deal with the sin of mankind. And as time went by, God got more and more specific. If you remember, there was the seed of woman, which is coming from Eve, of course, and then they said that it'll not only come from a woman, but it come from Abraham. And Abraham, of course, was the first Jew, and God told him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that he would give him. And he said, through Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. The Messiah would come through Abraham. And Abraham had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. And God said, through Isaac, the Messiah will come. And then Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And God said, through Jacob, the Messiah will come. And then Jacob had 12 sons. And God said, through Judah, one of his 12 sons, the Messiah will come. And then Judah later on down, his descendant was David, which we call him King David. And through David, the Messiah would come. And so God continued to narrow it down because God didn't want us to miss it. God wanted us to make sure, who is this Messiah? Who is this Savior? But I want to show you, and we'll go pretty quickly through this, I want to show you six things about the Savior of the world. And if you want to, go ahead right now and turn in your Bibles back to Isaiah chapter 9. If you go back, just kind of flip back, and if you get the Proverbs and Psalms, then go back toward the back of your Bible, and you'll find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Then go to Isaiah chapter 9. Now, these are famous verses, and they're always used at Christmas time, but they're very, very special because they're promises from God. And so we're going to see six promises that God made about this Messiah. And then we're going to see the fulfillment of those six promises found in Jesus Christ. So here's the first one. I'm going to just read the verse. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this: "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it." So the very first thing I want you to read again in verse 6, the very first part of the verse says, "For a child will be born to us." The first thing we're going to see is this Messiah is going to be a person. A child will be born. I want you to think about that. That means it's going to be a human being. We're going to find that it says he in there, so it's going to be a male, going to be a man. And Isaiah 9, 6 says this child will be born. The one from God is going to be a man. And we realize that. The one from God is a person, is a human being. We realize that he's going to be a descendant of David. He's going to be a human being. And why is he going to be a human being? Because to pay for human being's sins, there has to be a perfect human being. That's why through the Old Testament, every time somebody sinned, they brought an animal. But that animal sin was a covering. It never paid for sin. And we'd say, well, God doesn't want human sacrifice. God wants one human sacrifice, the perfect human, and that is Jesus Christ. That is going to be this human being, this man, this one who is coming. So the first thing that we see, the first promise aspect is going to be a man. But let's continue to read, because notice what it says. For a child will be born to us, and then look at the second part of the verse. It says, a son will be given to us. Now, the son is the Son of God. The son is God who has always existed. See, the son was not born. The child was born, but the son was given. And sometimes we read passages and we go too fast. Notice it says a child will be born. It doesn't say a son will be born. It says a son will be given to us. The son is the Son of God. He has always existed. He is the eternal Son of God. And given at exactly the right time, this God, he is going to come as the Son of God. The right time, the Son of God is given. So think about this. The child is born. That's a man. The son is given. That's God. So the first two things we've seen is the promises. He's going to be a man and he's going to be God. But there's more in this verse. Let's keep reading. Look again at verse 9, chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 6. A child will be born to us. That's the man. A son will be given to us. That's God. And the government will rest upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And notice verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David. The third thing we see is he is a king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will be the ruler of the world. The government of this world is on his shoulders. He's going to actually take the place of King David. King David was the great king. God made a promise to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 17, that your son, that David, you'll have a greater son who will rule forever. Isaiah says, this is him. The government will be on his shoulders. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And to the end of his government, there will be no end. He is the ruler of the world, the greater son of David. So we have seen that a child is born. He's going to be a man, that the son is given. He is God, that the government is on his shoulders. He's the king. So far, a man, God, man, king. But there's more. And you're in Isaiah, so I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Just if your Bible's like mine, it's just only a couple of pages back, or maybe even one page. And I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, because we could say, well, won't there be many sons born? How are we going to know if this son who is born is going to be the one who's the king and who's going to be the one who is God? How do we know? Well, how will we know who this is? Well, I want you to see Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. What's the sign? Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. The fourth thing is that it's going to be a virgin. Virgin will have this child. A virgin will produce this man. A virgin will bring the Son of God into the world. A virgin will bring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're not talking about just a young woman. We're talking about a woman who's going to have a baby who's never had sexual relations. And this one will be called Emmanuel, God with us. The child is born. That's the man. The son is given. That's God. The government's on his shoulders. He's the king. He's born of a young girl. That's the virgin. So we've got those four things. But there's more. And I want you to hold your place. Well, just go ahead and turn from Isaiah to the book of Micah. And so you go Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos, or whatever. And you'll find it. Just kind of keep going. And you'll find Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5. And if you get over there to Jonah and Amos and Obadiah after Amos, and there's Jonah and Micah. And Micah chapter 5. I want you to see this verse. If you can turn there. If not, we'll understand. But Micah chapter 5. And we're going to see this great truth. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Look what these verses say. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah. By the way, there were two Bethlehems. There was a Bethlehem in the northern part of Israel, which is like nobody ever knows. And then there's the Bethlehem in the southern part called Bethlehem Ephratah. This is the great city because this is the city of King David. That's why it was more famous. And he says, for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, you little bitty town. From you, one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. What we see is that in these verses, that Bethlehem, this small town, 8 miles south of Jerusalem, this is where the Messiah will be born. One born from this city. Now I want to put this up here. It says, from you, Bethlehem, this little city, one, the man, the child will be born. He'll be the ruler. He'll be the king. He's from all eternity, and he is God. And so I want you to think about that. From all eternity, he's the man. Look at this. He's a man who is God, who is the king, who's born of a virgin, who's born in Bethlehem. There's one more thing, and it's found in Micah chapter 5, verse 5. Look over there if you're in the same place. In my Bible, it's exactly the same page. And here's what it says at the very beginning of the verse. This one, this Messiah, will be our peace. The word peace there means the one who brings the salvation. The idea here is the Savior. He will be our peace. He will be the one who brings peace because he is the Savior. Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes through the Messiah, through the Savior. Whenever we trust Christ, he brings the peace. So what have we seen? We have seen that the promise was there would be a man who is actually God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who will be born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem, and he is the one who is the Savior. Wow, pretty specific. Man, God, King, Savior, born to a virgin in Bethlehem, Savior of the world. Pretty specific. Well, let's see the person. And so here's the real question. Is Jesus Christ the one that was promised? And in Galatians 4:4, it says, in the fullness of time, God brought forth a son born of a woman, born under the law. So at exactly the right time, God sent his son into the world. Well, who was that son? I want you to turn back to Luke chapter 1, where we had our scripture reading. Luke chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 26. I hope you're there, Luke chapter 1, and I want you to see the fulfillment. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 says, now, in the sixth month. Now, by the way, so often people just read the Bible, they don't even think about it. Have you ever turned to somebody and asked them, why does this verse start? Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. 6 months of what? But if you look back, you realize that it's the 6 month of Elizabeth who's going to have a baby. Her baby is going to be named John. We call him John the Baptist. And she's 6 months pregnant when this angel comes to Mary. Notice. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. And we say, okay, that's good. That's okay. And then the verse says, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Look, here's the number four. The virgin is engaged to Joseph, a descendant of David. Her name is Mary. Notice what it says. It says, the angel came in and said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. She was very perplexed at that, and she didn't know what to think. And the angel said, you don't need to be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And he's going to give a message. Now, here we go. Is the fulfillment? Well, the promise was a virgin. here's the virgin. Look what the message the angel gives to her. Look at verse 31. He said, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." The first thing, she's going to bear a son. It's a person. It's a boy. It's a man. Have a child, a son, a man. She will have a boy. That fits. It's going to be a man. But notice it goes on and says, "And you shall name him Jesus." The name Jesus means Savior. His name will be called Jesus because Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. The name Jesus means Savior, and so he's a Savior. So far, the virgin's going to have a man who's going to be the Savior. But it goes on. Notice what it says. "He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Most High." He's called the Son of God. That's who he is. He will be the Son of the Most High God. And so he's God. A man who is God, born of a virgin, who is the Savior. But we're not through. Notice verse 32 says, "He'll be great and be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of" what? "Of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and as of kingdom there will be no end." He's the king. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now look at that. The promise was there'd be a man. Well, it's a man. The promise would be he'd be God. He's going to be God. The promise would be he'd be the king. He'd be the king. The promise he'd be born of a virgin. He's born of a virgin. The promise is he's the Savior. He's the Savior. His name is Jesus. There's only one thing missing. I mean, look what we got. Man, God, king, virgin, Savior. So far, everything's going great. But what do we need? We need the city of Bethlehem. But if you remember, when we read back in verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth." Uh-oh. It's not looking that good. What's going to happen? They're not in Bethlehem. If he's going to match, he's got to be the man who's God, who's the king, who's born of the virgin, who is the Savior, who is born in Bethlehem. But what happened? Luke chapter 2, turn with me to Luke chapter 2, just turn the page. What do we see? "Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth." Now this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. "And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city." See, when Caesar Augustus wanted to make more taxes, he said, "I want to make sure I got everybody, so I want everybody to go back to their hometowns where everybody was registered when they were born, and I want the registration there, and I want everybody to come there so that I can tax them." Notice verse 4. "Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth," that's where they were in chapter 1, "to Judea, to the city of David, which is called" what? "Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and of the family of David, in order" what? "To register along with Mary, who was engaged to him as with a child." And what happened? "While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a feed trough, a manger, because there was no room in the inn." Bethlehem. To Bethlehem, the baby was born. The man, the God, the king, born of the virgin, the Savior in Bethlehem. Now notice verse 8. I love this part. "In that same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said, 'You don't need to be afraid. Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news, great joy to all the people.'" The good news is the gospel, the good news message that the Messiah has been born. It brings great, the results is going to be great joy to all people. It's not just some people, it's all the people. "Good news of great joy to all the people. For today in the city of David," by the way, the city of David is Bethlehem, "there has been born for you a Savior," that's the Savior, "who is Christ the Lord." So he's a baby, and he's the king, and he's Christ the Lord, the Savior, and he's God, and he's born in Bethlehem, and he's a descendant of David. He's everything. "You will find," this will be a sign, "you'll find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. In the city of David is the Savior, the one who brings peace, the Lord who is God, the baby, who is the man. And you'll find him where? In a manger, which is a feed trough. We know what happened. They left and they went and found him, and it was incredible. What do we see? The promise would be a man, the fulfillment is a man. The promise is God, fulfillment God. The promise would be king following King David, fulfillment, he'll follow King David. He was born of a virgin, that's the promise, he's born of a virgin. He's born in Bethlehem, he's born in Bethlehem. He is the Savior and the peace, he is the Savior and the peace. We have seen the promises, and we've seen the person. Why? Why would God do that? Why would God send his son into the world? Why would everything match perfectly? Why would he say, I'm going to send a person who is God, who is born of a virgin, who is the king, who is going to be born in Bethlehem, who will be the Savior of the world? Why would God do that? First of all, God wanted to show his love for us. God so loved the world that he gave his son. God loved us. He loved us that he sent the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, to become a man. He sent him into the world to be born in Bethlehem. Number two, God wanted to save us. God so loved the world that he gave his son that whosoever would ever believe in him would never what? Never what? Perish, but have what? Eternal life. God sent his son to redeem us. Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, God brought forth a son born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, pay for our sins. 1 John 2:2. He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. Why would God send his son into the world? Because he loves us and he wanted to save us. God brought forth his son born of a virgin so he could die and rise again. Salvation is a gift by faith in Christ. When we talk to people this Christmas, as days are coming up in just a few days, we're going to have time to be with family and friends and all kind of people. And everybody talks about Christmas and what's it all about. Christmas is all about God sending his son to be the Savior of the world, and that anyone who would believe in him would never perish but have eternal life, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and there's no other way to have eternal life except through Jesus. This Christmas, remember that the man who is God, who is King, who is Savior, who is born of the Virgin in Bethlehem, came to save us. So our application, let's understand the real meaning of Christmas. Realize that God so loved the world. God loved us and provided a way of salvation. And when we think about it, the baby born in Bethlehem was born to be the Savior of the world. And so as we do this, think about this. Trust in Jesus Christ as Savior. As I look out the room, I know almost all of you. If there's anybody in this room who has never understood and put their faith in Jesus Christ, right where you're sitting, you can understand that Jesus Christ is the God-man sent from heaven to be the Savior, born of the Virgin in Bethlehem as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He died and rose again and offers to you the gift of eternal life. If you've never trusted him right now, you can say, Lord, I'll take the gift. I trust in Jesus Christ to give me eternal life. Your Christmas will never be the same again if you trust in Christ today. For all of us who have trusted Christ, let's go out of this room and let's tell people about our Savior.